Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We look again at the words of Jesus in the sixth chapter of Luke, reading just several of the verses. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how your ancestors treated the prophets." This is the word of our God. Dear friends in Christ, as I said at the opening of the service, we are used to acknowledging God for gifts. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. We thank God for the blessings that we have, because those blessings make our life better. They are demonstrations of God's love to us. And so Jesus, talking to his disciples, those who believe in him, and he talks about their condition, blessed under God. Blessed are you, he says, because you are poor, hungry, crying, and hated. Those are blessings? Those are things we're supposed to thank God for? Who wants to be poor? I mean, we know the disadvantages of not having enough finances, enough money and wealth to get through. Perhaps none of you are people who wonder where your next meal is coming from, but there are people like that, and we know we wouldn't want to be one of them. Do you really want to be hungry? I don't know if any of us have ever really been hungry. I mean, where you are virtually starving and there is no food on the horizon. That kind of hunger. But Jesus says, well, blessed are you if you are hungry. And crying? I mean, crying implies something sad, doesn't it? A disaster, a tragedy, a loss of some kind. We're looking for that condition and that situation to happen to us. And maybe the worst of all, blessed are you when you are hated, when you are rejected, when nobody wants your company and ridicules you for who you are and the company that you do keep. Everybody wants to belong in one way or another. Nobody looks forward to being rejected. What in all the world is Jesus talking about? Is he just trying to tell his disciples, be a victim all the time? Always look upon your life as everybody's taking things away from you. You're always deprived. You're always a victim. Some groups in Christianity through the ages have misunderstood these words of Jesus, giving all of their earthly wealth away because it pleases God more if you don't have anything on this earth than if you have all kinds of things. Is that what Jesus is talking about here when he says, blessed are you? These particular words of Jesus, we are told, were spoken on level ground, somewhere no doubt around the Sea of Galilee. He also spoke these words at a different time, on a hillside, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, as it is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And there he used a couple other words that maybe help us understand what he's talking about here. He said in the Gospel of Matthew, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Not talking about earthly material things, but a spiritual condition, spiritual gifts. And there Jesus says, blessed are you if you are poor. Being poor means you're lacking something, doesn't it? And in this case, if you're blessed to be poor, you must be lacking something that is not good to have. If you are poor in spirit, Jesus says, you are not filled with pride. You are not filled with arrogance. Or, to use a material picture, Jesus says you don't trust in the things that you have and the things you can do with them. Material things are not your fulfillment. But you are poor because you recognize what you don't have before God. You don't have any right to come before him. And when you do, for instance, on Judgment Day, you are going to have nothing of your own to offer him. If he receives you to himself, it is not going to be because of who you are or what you are able to accomplish. Blessed are you, Jesus says, because God's word has taught you that you are poor. Nothing that can satisfy or please God. Poor in spirit. God loves a contrite and a humble heart. One that comes before him and does not say, Lord, look at who I am and look at what I've got. And look at the kind of disciple I am. Boy, you're pretty lucky to have a disciple like me. Not at all, but rather a recognition of how poor we are before our Heavenly Father. Jesus said that that's a blessing if that attitude is in you. And it's a blessing that you didn't create. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are you, if you are humble, if you somehow create a humble spirit in yourself so that you go around proudly saying, I'm more humble than you are. No, this humility is not something that we create in ourselves. It's something that God's law creates in us. When it condemns our every action as being less than perfect, so that we can say with the prophet Isaiah that even our righteousnesses, even the good things that we do, for which we receive praise on this earth, are nothing before our Heavenly Father and don't bring us one inch closer to his presence. And Jesus says, you're blessed because God's law has brought you down to that level, so that you are ready to receive the gifts that the Lord has to give to you. And so he says, blessed are you who hunger. We don't want to be hungry. And God gives us the kind of food to nourish our bodies. But Jesus says again in Matthew, hungry for righteousness. That's something we don't have by ourselves. The Bible says there's nobody that does good, including you and me. No, not one. We don't have the righteousness that we need before God. But because we realize that, again, a gift of God's word, we hunger for what God gives us. Because the righteousness that we need, the righteousness that is necessary for us to stand before our Heavenly Father and to live with Him for all eternity, that righteousness is ours through the life and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a righteous life, and He gives that gift to you and to me. He died on the cross and took away all those obstacles to righteousness in order that you and I might have that perfect righteousness, as the prophet Isaiah calls it, a robe of righteousness that we can wrap around ourselves so that we can stand before the holy eyes of God. Yes, Jesus says, you're going to mourn on this earth. You're going to be sad at losses, at setbacks. But He says, you're also going to be sad when you realize that you live in a veil of tears. That's an accurate description of the world we live in, isn't it? A veil of tears. So much sadness. So many things that cause sadness. All the violence and all the blasphemy and all the wickedness that we see around us. That is sad. That may bring tears to our eyes. And then when we suffer losses in our own family or among our loved ones, especially the loss that death creates, and we realize that the reason for death in this world is because sin is in this world, that is a reason for tears. And whereas the world around us maybe tries to make the best of things, God's people realize that the Lord has something much better in mind. What has God done with death? Through Jesus Christ, He has changed death into a sleep from which we will awaken, from which God Himself will awake us. And as we feel good after a good night's sleep, so when God awakes us to all eternity, Jesus says, you will laugh and be joyful, and there will be no more tears, He said, because the things that cause tears, the consequences of sin, will be gone. And then He says, and blessed are you when people hate you. He adds, of course, the explanation, because of the Son of Man. If you're hated because you deserve to be hated, that's not what what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about the kind of rejection that people earn because of their sinful, wicked lives. No, He's talking about rejection because of Jesus. Because you are a disciple of Jesus. And the world convinces itself that that's a terrible thing. You are foolish. You are naive if you believe those things about a life to come. You're even a danger to the world. You are something that if it were possible, we should get rid of altogether. The world doesn't like to hear about sin that needs to be forgiven. about wickedness that makes them unacceptable before God. They don't want to hear that. And so they just as soon be rid of it altogether. But Jesus says, that's a blessing to you. Because that's the way they treated the prophets. That's the way the world has always treated God's people in this world. It is their way of saying, you belong to Jesus. And for all eternity, nobody could say anything better about you than that. You belong to Jesus. He is your Savior, and He has made you His own, and you are His forever. And so we look at these words of Jesus as He describes our life and our attitudes in this world as we live our lives of faith. We look at the humility, or the poverty, the hunger, the tears, the hatred, and we say, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.